on an existing, kind of how it is right now.
Yeah, you'd have that option.
With 28 inches of fill per CERCLA.
Right, or you'd find an alternative with NDEF. They would regulate that. So, I mean, we have an example of what would be done with our agreement with them. So, I, you know, depending on which direction the county wanted to go, I guess you could take that either way.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. On the completion of the new road, where the existing 342 now lays, as that road is removed, as the asphalt is removed, and the 40 feet of fill in that, does the mine have intention of mining that area too that sits underneath?
We don't have intention of expanding the surface mine to the east. We want to complete the plan that we currently have in place, which will not. We don't want to move closer. That's probably not the best way to say it. We have some real great, amazing underground targets that we're very anxious to get to. And that's a whole different world. We're talking going into the bedrock and going down underground. It's
as I'm drilling down to this, it seems to me that the financial question is, if we're, first of all, we have our 10-week timeline. We're all together.
Yeah.
Kumbaya.
Yeah.
We're going to get it built. We can see out. NDOT can see that. CMI. We can see that all over. What if something happens and CMI isn't here to do it? In 2 weeks or, and I, so let's say that happens. I suppose what we're looking at, if I'm not mistaken, here we go, is the amount of bond. So if we were to have to do that as a community, do we have enough on the table in the amount of bond to keep the county whole? I really think at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, because it's insurance. It's insurance, right? Yeah.
That's our insurance policy that it gets done. We all agree we can, you're going to. I think it's a workable plan and timeline. So I suppose the bottom line for me is if something were to happen to you guys, we're really relying on you. And if we don't have you, then we have a bond so we can go ahead and finish it for the requirements that are on the table today. Am I there? Is that on the table with this one?
Yeah. Can I just
just real quickly. For the record, Ken, that's kind of the beauty of the bypass. By that I mean we're going to post a bond, a $3 million bond with the county, and that'll greatly exceed the cost of what phase one would take. So you will always have access, if that makes sense.
My question is $3 million enough? Because I don't know that.
Right. It's more than
severe, and I haven't seen a bid from Granite Construction. So is $3 million enough on the bond base? That would be the question for my bid.
It's more than sufficient for phase one.
So let me answer it too. Yeah, so the way that I have to look at the schedule then, Mr. Commissioner, but the bypass gives us not only a permanent bypass, but it exceeds beyond any imagination what we had before. In other words, you're completely on safe ground. You avoided the entirety of that loose material other than one little crossing. And it's, I don't know, I want to say it's a third of the project. You know, that's what I want to say, but I have to go back and double check the numbers. So what I was going to propose, even when we were talking about the $3 million before, was it's very easy to reassess it after the first phase is completed, right? Because then you're going to have final permitted engineering designs. You're going to have a permanent solution. You have a permanent solution, right? But we want to make sure we can get all the rest of it done and then have a really pretty solution, you know, when it's all said and done. So I don't know that there's any risk, or certainly not a damaging risk, and in terms of posting the bond, getting phase one complete, we'll be every week updating, you know, for phase one. That's fine. That'll be complete. But then we'll have the final plans, the final NDOT permits for phase two. We'll see the cost of that, and let's just make believe the cost of that goes to $3.5 million or we'll post the bond for the rest of it. You know, I don't, and let me say this, like I don't, and I say this in only the best ways, you know, we're really trying to get a permanent full solution, right? The bypass is a pretty good solution, you know, but the permanent flow solution is the bigger plan. So I guess I'm saying is the amount of the bond is the question, right? But there's a couple of steps here in the process before we even know what the answer is. So I would say post the three, get going. Or we could say it even differently. We don't even have to wait. We don't even have to wait to the 10 weeks. I'm sorry. Post the bond, get going. And then as soon as we have those estimates and those details, move it up or move it down. And I'm only saying that not to avoid posting a larger bond. I don't think you've ever felt the resistance to me in posting a bond. It's just we'll have all that we can start right away, and then we'll have all the details soon thereafter.
Are you continuing to mine in the Lucerne pit?
We are mining not a lot. It's important that we do some of that mining, and a lot of this material, the agreed remediation, is to permanently place it on the leach pad. So even when we're excavating and moving the material out of there, you know, trucks will be mining at the bottom going. Now, the unstable portion of the road, you know, is not ever going to be used again, right? So we were previously talking about some keen ideas. They proved not feasible, like ramping and shoe flying, right? In those cases, you were using the road. We're not using the road. So the unsafe portion is we're not touching it, right? So we don't see any unsafe activity at all going on. So it's important. There's a synchronization of that equipment that it has to all just keep going in the same direction. Otherwise, it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. We won't be able to do it. We wouldn't be able to make it do it.
Thor, with the completion of phase one, which gives us the removal of the bedrock, the sealing of the pit, and the temporary fix, theoretically, could we use that long term if something didn't happen with the bypass? To what standard would that be built?
So, Commissioner Gilman, you're talking about phase one?
Yeah. Phase one is going to give us opening of the road within 10 weeks, theoretically. How long can that be used if, in fact, we didn't get the bypass put in? Is that a fix that would be longer?
Well, the phase one, the bypass in of itself, is part of the permanent solution. So when that gets constructed, and I'm going to have my resident engineer and my testers, inspectors, and all that watching it, when traffic hits that, it's race ready. It'll be in its permanent condition. The phase two part is to get over, from what I understand from CMI, you know, the additional permitting, the core, the going over the stream. The answer to your question is yes. The permanent, the temporary bypass is the permanent bypass. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. If we got that far on phase one in 10 weeks,
we're good. We're gold. We're
yes.
That's it. It's the lock, stock, and barrel. That's what we got right there. We're going to be using that long term. I'm excited about that. I think it's the right thing to do. I've been up at night worried about 342 in that section with the shaft, not just this last couple of weeks, or excuse me, a month ago, but since 2005, it's bothered me a lot.
So our $3 million conversation is applied to that bypass.
Everything.
That's the phase one.
Everything.
We have nothing to do with the second phase. That's just $3 million for the first phase.
So I can say it a different way, Mr. Commissioner, that the $3 million was intended to cover the whole project, but it can absolutely overcover the first phase if that's acceptable. That to me is the reality of it. It's you're going to overbond the first phase, and then it's going to be done, and then we're going to look at the remaining phase, and we'll say, look, we only have $2 million more to go, and you guys will say, well, just leave the $3 million in there, and we'll be okay, and then we'll finish it off, or not. But I think that's really practically what we're talking about. And that was the biggest breakthrough last week, is we went from a temporary solution to a truly permanent first phase, truly permanent, that we're going to tie into the final realignment. However, there is going to be a crossing there, and so that's why it's important. You know, the second phase is not unimportant to the county, right? Where there's going to be a crossing there, and then that allows us to do everything else. And then you'll see that road appear as people are driving, you know, to Virginia City every day. It'll appear. It'll start looking nice. It'll be landscaped. And then in December, we'll just tie it in, and we'll be done forever.
I have a question for Mr. Dyson. This is in tie with Chairman, Vice Chairman Gilman. Well, I think what his question is, we understand there's the phase one portion, and half of the phase one portion will become the permanent rub, that meaning when you're southbound, and then ultimately you'll continue southbound into that phase two land. There's the connection, the temporary connection between phase one and the existing roadway, kind of that little double black line that Comstock shows on its maps. Is that portion as well, if phase two were never to be finished, would that portion, including the actual permanent phase one, all be built in, not specifications, and could be considered a permanent road if the unforeseen were to happen?
Well, we're going to require that all of the realignment, phase one, phase two, is to NDOT standards.
Including the temporary jot straight over?
The temporary jot, if it becomes, well, you know, we have different specifications for temporary and for permanent.
That's
okay.
What I think we're trying to
do. So we're not going to ask them to build in its complete, you know, condition. We're going to ask them to build that temporary to minimum standards, minimum safety standards, operational standards, until the phase two needs to come in, and then we'll have the final standards. Does that answer your question?
Is it possible then, and I think we could go on and on with this, I think there's probably going to have to be some meetings before perhaps another meeting on coming up with some 1, 2, 3, and 4. You got the permanent solution for phase one. Okay, great. Then you got the temporary jot, the little double black line.
Which NDOT will be involved with, if it's open to public traffic, which it's going to be, we're going to be involved in that.
Okay.
We're going to make sure that it's safe and it's to NDOT standards. NDOT permanent standards,
yeah.
I'm not going to say at that time yes, because it's still in a temporary condition. Why would I have them build something brand new and into complete standard when they're going to tear it up and, you know, complete that permanent phase two? That's when I'm going to require, you know, a permanent condition, a permanent standard, NDOT standard. And by the way, it's going to be far better. I can tell you, whatever they're going to build on phase one, phase two, it's going to meet current NDOT standards, and it's going to address a lot of issues that don't exist right now on State Route 342.
If phase two were, let's say it never got completed for whatever unforeseen reasons, if we were to work with Comstock on bonding, and I don't think this is the right time to do that, but to say, okay, if they could end up, or we could with a bond, make the rest of phase one, including the temporary jot, the permanent road forever, under unforeseen circumstances, such as phase two never getting completed, would NDOT accept that whole thing becoming part of a permanent road with and then being built to full NDOT specifications?
I'm gonna let Mr. Tony Angelopoulos. He works for me in the permit section, but I'm gonna let him answer that question. But I can tell you that, you know, NDOT has worked with bonding companies before. All our projects are bonded. I think it's wise that Story County is getting the bond from CMI to readdress the realignment for prescriptive use for highway travel on their property. We don't like calling the bonding company, but we've done it. We'll do it in the future if we need to. We'll work with you if you need to call out CMI's bond and get the work completed and get it completed temporarily and in a permanent condition for phase two. So we've been there. We've done it. And I can tell you that contractors do not like, or in this case, the owner, CMI, will not. They will do everything. Contractors that I work with will do everything in their power to avoid the bonding company. If I just call the bonding company, it sends them into orbit.
Okay.
So, we take that very seriously. They take it seriously. It's been that way throughout my career with bonding companies. I'm going to let Tony answer some of the other questions.
Thank you. Tony Angelopoulos, for the record, the permit office. Just wanted to explain. Reviewing some of the permit yesterday, the bypasses we're speaking of, the definite permanent solution will be subgrade, base, 6 inches of plant mix, which will be asphalt. The temporary bypass, technically, is going to be the same concept, subgrade compacted to what we've our requirements, which is 90%, the base to 95%, their intentions are to pave it 3 inches. So part of our permit, and I think what we were going to talk about in general, is that if this were to come to fruition, we remove the 3 inches of the plant mix, remove the 3 inches of asphalt, and pave 6 inches of asphalt in that small area, in my recommendation, or my years of experience is very minimal. So our concept is for the subgrade and the base in this area, as you're talking about a permanent phase, will be built to our specifications. It'll just be a thinner section of asphalt. So that's kind of where we're...
Theoretically, if you had to come back in, worst case scenario, you could lay another 3 inches of asphalt, and you'd have a...
And we're just talking about in this two black line area, yeah, you could either leave the 3 inches of asphalt or they're there, or tear that 3 inches of asphalt out, take the base down, and pave 6 inches back. It's a minimal cost, but the hope is that the subgrade and the base is all built to the same, and that's where our REs come in and know that what's underneath it. We do it a lot in our permit aspects as well. That way, in case we do have to come back, we know what's underneath it is good, and then that way if we have to expand upon on what's on top, and we're good. If that helps.
Commissioner Gundy,
thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to change course a little bit. There's, you know, we got to watch out for the small guys and small companies. Everybody's a small company in Orange County, but also our neighbor. We have a small business in Silver City. We call doodads. I just got a letter yesterday or the day before that they may be closing. Sounds like they're going to close the doors because with the road closed, they're not getting any traffic, and that's their business. I also see the Comstock Lodge, which is up the hill. They've got zero occupancy. The VC, but this is the slow time of year, so it is typical that they might not have customers on a steady basis. But I am concerned about the little business there in Silver City. It's a cute little business. They really have some unique items in that store. I don't know if has there been any discussion or thought as far as trying to help compensate them during this downtime?
We haven't had any formal conversations, but we're happy to meet with Sherry and talk to her and see what it's all about.
I think that would be good to
talk
to Sherry.
Yeah.
Maybe appropriate signage saying that the road is closed, but business is open.
Right there, yeah. We had that case before where we, yeah.
Pat, did you have anything you want to weigh in on? We still have you, Pat? Am I still on mute?
Yes. No. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. It just takes a minute to get back to the screen. No, I'm comfortable with what I've heard today. It's consistent with what you know, Austin has been reporting. I guess for the record, you know, as we did 2 weeks last Wednesday or this coming Wednesday when we were down at the site, you know, we assured everybody this is our highest priority, and it is. I mean, we're spending more staff hours and time, even from Washington, D.C., on this particular issue, but it's more important. It takes a greater part of everyone's day, greater than Tesla, greater than Switch, but it's critical to get it back open, and I'm confident that the team is assembled. And I'm not minimizing CMI, because it is great that we can rely on them as an earth expert and equipment to do that, mm-hmm. and this will clear and grub, if you will, but I have to tell you, NDOT has been stellar. That Deputy Director Hoffman himself is there again today, along with Thor. I've worked with Mr. Hoffman in the past on projects such as USA Parkway, and that tells you, you know, it's a high priority for all of us. And I thank them and assure everyone we're going to continue to keep our eye on this and get it done through benchmarks, as Vice Chairman Gilman has suggested.
Thanks. Do you have any other questions?
I don't have any at this point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At this time, if you wouldn't mind staying with us, I want to ask if anybody in the audience would like to give any testimony. And if anybody would like to give testimony, if you'll come up to the podium and introduce yourself, address the board, any questions you might have, and they will, we would ask either Comstock, Monty, or NDOT to respond to questions that, that the board can't answer. But we appreciate it if you don't ask the questions directly to the other participants here.
Commissioner McBride, real quick, Thor Dyson with NDOT. I do want to state that, you know, the 10 to 12 week schedule laid out, once things get rolling along pretty good from a highway standpoint, the contractor, whoever that ends up being, it has been my experience in the past that a lot of times they can get pretty creative and, you know, they might be able to work, you know, potentially 24 hours a day, particularly if the road's closed. You know, when the road's closed, it's a hell of a lot better to get the work done as opposed to trying to get it done during live traffic. So there's some opportunities that may show up. I've had a lot of history with contractors where, you know, we think we got the plan and they show up and they present a slightly different plan, and next thing you know, we're scratching our heads going, wow, that's really great. You're going to open it up quicker. You're going to, you know, promote some additional safety aspects of the actual construction. My main point is there's still some opportunities, hopefully, to beat that 10 to 12-week timeline. I've seen it done. I prefer to, you know, under-promise and overachieve. So I just wanted to state that.
Thank you. All right, we have some in the audience who'd like to come up. Mr. Kramer, come on up.
Commissioners. I'd like to spend 10 minutes or so congratulating everybody on their diligence and how well they've worked together, but I won't. You know, it just looks like we've skirted around the actual subject. There is a section of road approximately 40 feet long that is certifiably unsafe. A temporary bike pass already exists, like I mentioned to Pat Whitten. If Virginia City was a Walmart, how long do you think traffic would have been stopped? My guess would be about 20 minutes. It's a perfectly adequate temporary bypass now. They're talking about remediating this dangerous fill. They're going to risk their equipment by putting all the Pampers and old mattresses and everything into their rock crushers and then putting it on their leach pile. But this temporary fill is what most of the Comstock is built on. This is extremely solid stuff. It's been compacting in that exact location for 100 years at least. And there's no reason on earth that a temporary bypass that takes a week to do and would be completely adequate couldn't be put in. The idea that there's something about this mysterious material that has to be taken and remediated on a leach pile is that stuff was originally not considered as valuable as it actually is now. And once you get it on a leach pile, it's full of gold and silver and mercury. So you've got a two-stage plan that the first stage is way more elaborate than it needs to be. The reason that it has to be that elaborate is to remediate this fill, which is otherwise known as, for the profit of Comstock Mining, they need to take this material and grind it up and put it on their leach pad. Once they've done that, what their motivation would be to build another bypass, I don't know. This doesn't make sense. If they want to do a temporary bypass, it's already there. They can start work on the so-called permanent bypass that's going to be oh so beautiful immediately. There's no reason to take out a whole section of 342 because there's 40 feet of it that's unsafe. So everybody's been, all this time has been spent talking about the details of their plan as if their plan actually made any sense. And what's going to happen is they're going to remove that material, and they may not even get so far as the temporary road. Everybody understands that there's a perfectly good likelihood once they've gotten that out of there and milled it, they're gone. Unless, of course, they can come up with some other thing in the meantime. But I say, let them build a permanent road, which is probably what the so-called temporary bypass is. But while they're doing that, put the current dog leg, which is perfectly safe, they're driving 80-ton vehicles on it, and the rest of the highway, no portion of it is sinking. There's 40 feet of road to go around.
Okay, we've gone ahead and we've exhausted.
Does that make sense?
It does. If you've exhausted your time, 3 minutes is what we allow, and we went to four.
Thank you.
We're going to take more testimony, but actually, Austin's going to go ahead and respond to your statement.
Well, let's hear about that scary fill.
Well, if you can, Mr. Kramer, I.
Thank you.
I'll wait for.
And for the clerk, for the record, that was Peter Kramer. I don't know if you identified yourself at the podium, so. And in the future, anybody giving testimony, please identify yourself at the podium. It makes it much easier for the clerk when they go ahead and do the minutes, when they do the transcription there, for them to know exactly who's speaking. So, Austin, if you'll go ahead.
I know Thor and his team, they're the engineers. They'll be able to explain this very clearly and what the conditions are. But I'm very briefly, just I think it's an important element for everybody to understand what's happening. Now, what you're saying, Mr. Kramer, is that the road's been on this unconsolidated ground for quite some time. Why is it now a problem? And really, it's kind of like when you go to a beach and you dig in the sand, the sand keeps filling the hole. You can never actually get the hole dug. And with the shaft existing in the middle of this unconsolidated ground, that's what's happening, is they keep capping the shaft and the sand around it. This loose ground keeps going back into the shaft. And NDOT's taking a position, and I'm not speaking on behalf of NDOT with this statement, but taking a position of we need to make sure that the road is safe temporarily and permanently, and it's really because of that existing shaft that you have a situation. It isn't just that this ground isn't good enough to build on. It's that it's not good enough to build on adjacent to that shaft that keeps opening up, and that sand funnel keeps getting bigger every time it opens up. Thank you.
Right. Who else would like to come up with your testimony? Mr. Wester, I know you've been involved in this for a long time, so. I know, but I.
For the record, I'm Ben Wessner, Gold Hill resident. Been around a while. I guess my main question is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the bond requested would cover what essentially would be a temporary route. Is that correct? The bond would cover phase one.
I believe it will encompass the completion of the whole. Phase one and phase
two. Okay, I didn't understand. I thought that you explained that. That the NDOT people explained that it would cover phase one, the temporary, which would be just a 3-inch thick asphalt, and then they would come in and tear it out for phase two and complete phase two.
No, Thor Dyson, district engineer with NDOT, the bond would take into account the phase one 6 inches of asphalt, base material, and everything that's associated to build that temporary permanent location, okay? Phase two would be that small section where we're going to have 3 inches of asphalt, where we will have, as Mr. Tony Angelopoulos had indicated, for that temporary crossing over that water there, or that waters, that area, that's going to have the correct base. It's going to have the correct 3 inches of asphalt on a temporary basis. Then we'll come back. When we hit phase two, we will rip out the 3 inches on that short section, and we'll put in 6 inches. If the 3 inches survives on the temporary portion there, we'll leave it. Why waste money? We'll pay 3 inches on top of that. We're good to go. We're done. Does that help out?
Kind of. In other words, the $3 million bid covers the temporary / permanent roadway. The other question would be, I guess, and I assume that NDOT will be doing the oversight during all this construction.
Again, Thor Dyson, district engineer, absolutely. Like I stated earlier, if we're going to continue to take the prescriptive right and monitor or maintain the road and operate it for the traveling public, it's going to be built to NDOT standards. I'm going to have testers. I'm going to have inspectors. I'm going to have surveyors. I'm going to have a crew with a resident engineer monitoring the progress of this work, because what gets monitored gets accomplished.
Okay, so are there, essentially, Corrado, are there bids in place for this reconstruction? And if so, because I think Peter had a good point, if they go up there and take out this so-called fill and mill it and then decide, hey, we're out of here, we have a hole in the ground and no road. So I think we need to make sure that that surety bond is going to cover, in a sense, if CMI decides to hit the road.
Maybe we could ask just to clarify this.
Just to clarify, thanks, Ben. Mm-hmm. Crowder de Gaspers, President, Clubstock Mining. So I apologize because I know I didn't do this clearly. So phase one, where do we end up phase one? The full northern permanent, sorry, the full bypass excavation, the full bypass bedrock and fill material as Tony was describing, and then a permanent 6 inches thinning to 3 inches, fully open. That's phase one. Phase two, you're crossing that 3 inch area and you're building the entirety of the new road that will tie in much, much further south. Takes out all of that loose fill and all of that loose bedrock. And our estimate of $3 million-ish, let's say, covers all of that. All of that. So what we were suggesting earlier is that, and I wish I did, but I don't know what the piece is just for that first bypass, which could be permanent, is way over bonded. It's way over bonded. Then when we're done with that, I would suspect, let's just say it's a third. I would suspect the remainder of the project, which we'll be monitoring each milestone, hopefully will be about $2 million-ish to go, and we'll be over bonded for that. If somehow the detailed design, the engineering, et cetera, says, oh, look, you still have $3 million to go, which would suggest, you know, we're over by a third, then we leave that $3 million in place. If it's 2.5, probably we leave that $3 million in place. If it's 4, which I can't imagine, we would increase it. But you have that permanent solution already in place, you know. But it's permanent in the sense that you could use it forever. But it doesn't really give us the full solution that we're looking for.
Okay. I've got a few more minutes. I guess a bigger thought is future. We've had an impact here by CMI. Whether they're responsible or not is, I guess, in question. It seems that cut was irresponsible. There's the angle of repose, it doesn't even come close. A proper angle of repose on something like that, being the slope, should be somewhere between 30 to 45 degrees. I'm probably going to be questioned by the engineer here, but that's my understanding. My real issue is, and it looks like I'm about at the end, is future oversight by the county, by perhaps a resident engineer that is independent of CMI for any future problems or issues regarding underground mining, et cetera, the residents, and so forth. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. I'm trying to rush with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buster.
Third ice and NDOT, I'd like to offer up Mr. Mike Griswold to help out with the last question. Okay.
Yeah, Mike Griswold, Chief Geotech Engineer for NDOT. Just want to say really quickly that we've started meeting with Comstock's design team and working out some of the details, but I want everybody to be assured that for the future phase and future condition, we're looking at both the fill and cut slopes and making sure that those are in a permanent, safe solution. If there's guardrail or barrier rail needed, we'll add those as necessary, but we're looking into all aspects of the roadway.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because we've got the truck route and we've got Geiger Grade. On Geiger Grade, that highway is cut right into the side of our mountain for the most part of it. And when you go ahead and you get, which is usually to the west side of the highway, past the guardrail, it's a 300 or 400 foot drop. So when I'm looking at that, I don't see where there's any, what I'm saying is it looks like it's very steep there as well. So I don't know, when the highway was engineered, it was a long time before you guys were around or me, but if they were to construct a highway today, would it be of a less angle than it is today? Because it's an extremely steep angle as you go off Geiger Grade.
There's a lot of roads throughout the state that we deal with that were built to design standards that we have far exceeded by today's standards. So there are a lot of things that are not in the best condition that we'd like them to be today, but they are inherent. You know, if we had unlimited funds, we would fix everything throughout the entire state. We try to make sure that our roads are safe, that our cut slopes are safe. We put out safety projects to try and maintain those slopes. But for this project, we will be going with today's design standards. We will, they're going to provide a fill that will be engineered and compacted. We will use our knowledge and our design standards to make sure that those fill slopes are maintained at today's standards, cut slopes as well. Every cut slope has different properties, different fracture patterns, different strengths and erodibility characteristics. So each one of those will be looked at and you know, slope angles designed appropriately. We've already been discussing with Comstock's geotechnical engineer, and they are working on that as we speak. So, yes, those processes are in place, and we are designing to our current standards today, not accepting a lesser standard that we have inherited from previous construction. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Griswold. All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify? Commissioner, anything else? Mr. Osborne, anything else?
Just to summarize, yes, and then I'll be done. And a lot of discussion today on oversight and collaboration between the parties, and that will continue. And our team will continue working with NDOT's team and Army Corps of Engineers and NDEP and Comstock Mining and all of the parties that are involved in this. Part of that will be everything from monitoring blasts that take place in the mine. I'll be personally watching those and communicating with the qualified people and those results, as well as everything from Superfund and bonding and everything else. And I would suggest also, as Comstock is aware, is to continue having these meetings for updates. And so we can continually see progress along the project, and I'll be working with our team as well as keep updating all the parties as well as what's occurring and the progress. Thank you.
So may I ask one more thing, that we do establish a set of benchmark standards so we can see we're getting those and we're moving along in a period?
I think that'd totally be appropriate. Consider it done.
Okay. With that being said, staff is directed to go ahead and and work concurrently with CMI and MDOT on this. So, and I'd like to thank everybody for attending today and giving us your expertise on this. And Mr. Gaspers, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Mr. Joy.
Thank you.
So, anyway, that's going to conclude item 10 on today's agenda. We run a little longer than normal before
thanks,
break, so right now we'll take about a 10-minute recess. Okay,
thanks. Stretch
your legs.
I really appreciate it.